It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Joining me now for the Daily Focus, and our Daily Focus offered to us by Pastor Mutoya, who's joining us once again this Thursday afternoon. Yeah, I think it's Thursday. I hope I got my dates and times correctly. Pastor Mutoya, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
So we're talking about dating and marriage, and this is a topic that I have always found rather odd for Christians to talk about dating. And I suppose the first question, before we even delve into our subject of dating and marriage, is there any dating in the Bible, Mfundisi?
That's a very interesting question. Well, I could say probably in its original sense or original definition, definitely there's no dating in the Bible. But when we just look at the application of what dating is, then we could say, yes, there is dating in the Bible, but the word itself, dating, may not be found there.
So do we see anyone, any young people in the Bible who are doing the things that we call dating, going out, spending time together before their marriage? Do we see any couple in the Bible, any couple whatsoever, that spends time getting to know one another before they got married?
Well, we see, for example, a brother called Jacob, and he finds Rachel very beautiful, and then they are out together working. And the Bible records that actually it took some time, and that's when he married Rachel. So that in itself, we could conclude that probably he took time for him to just date this beautiful lady called Rachel.
But he wasn't working with her, the old pastor. He wasn't spending time with her.
Yeah, the Bible records that Rachel was a shepherd.
Correct.
If you wish, you would say she was a shepherdess.
Yes.
Which is just the same as a shepherd.
Yes.
Okay. And Jacob was a shepherd also.
Right.
And they were taking care of the same flock. So you could tell that they could spend some time together. And yet, Jacob had loved this lady. The Bible literally says he cried the first time he saw the beauty. He had never seen such beauty. And the Bible says he cried, actually, because of the beauty of this lady. So that in itself tells you he had developed interest to marry this lady. And then they were in some kind of friendship. Yes.
Friendship. So when you study the Jacob and Rachel narrative, you don't find that they were working together. He was, when he met Rachel, she was a shepherdess. She was sending the sheep to be watered at the well. But when Jacob was taken over by Laban to work under him, Rachel was no longer a shepherd. It was Jacob who was taking care of it. There is no record of Rachel or Leah ever being shepherdesses after Jacob took over. So where would we get it from that they were doing it together? There is no record that says that.
The Bible records that Jacob was staying at the same family where Rachel was.
Absolutely.
So because of the interest that we find at the beginning that Jacob had in this sister, then we can probably make a conclusion that they were seeing each other. Like I said earlier, that dating itself, the word dating, you may not find it in the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay? You may not find it in the Bible, but by just, application, we are able to see certain lessons.
Those are exactly the same things I was curious to learn from, Mfundisi, because again, the practices that we are going to get into, I mean, I'm going to ask you to define them for us. We don't see them applicable anywhere in the couples of scripture. We don't see it with the father of faith. We don't see it with his son Isaac. We don't see it with Jacob. We don't see it with any of the 12 of his sons. We don't see it with the kings. We don't see it with Jesus and his and his disciples. We don't see it with Jesus' family. No, all of these practices that we were going to define right now don't seem to find any application in Scripture. But then again, perhaps you will point them to me because you're saying they are. So do share with us what is dating? Just describe dating for us so that we can be able to apply that definition to the couples that you're talking to us about.
Thank you so very much. Dating is simply, a journey where a young man or a young lady, endeavors to learn more of another person of the opposite sex for the purpose of getting to know them so that they may get into a relationship that would lead to marriage. So that's what dating would be as we would describe it.
Right.
And let me say it this way, that when you look at dating itself in its original sense, it is slightly different from that in its original sense. Because today, the word dating is used loosely, and it can mean quite a number of these kind of relationships.
Right.
But in its original sense, dating was simply where, for example, a young man or a young lady can have multiple relationships or friendships. Where, is able to say, okay, I've gone for a sleepover this way, I've gone for a sleepover with a friend, we've gone out with a friend, and that's just dating. And then...
Wait. She goes to sleep over at a man's place?
That's what I'm saying, that's actually the original sense or practice of dating.
When you say original, is that the biblical sense or is it the worldly sense?
No, not at all. Not biblical.
Okay.
Not biblical. Remember, I said dating is something that you don't find in the Bible, but you can just get some application from there, but you don't find it.
It's those applications. I do understand. I don't want us to waste time about looking for the word. I'm not looking for the word. I'm looking for those applications you're saying are in the Bible about dating.
Fantastic. I would put it this way, that we have what probably we could say the modern day dating, okay? The way the modern life looks at dating. And that's the one which I was trying to describe, where you're going out with this one, and then you're able to say, oh, I think I can marry this one. And then you caught that person, and then marriage comes through. But when you look at the Christian principles for a young man or a young lady before they marry, you realize that for them, one, whatever they want to do must have the authority of their parents. Even before they marry, even when they are dating, it must have the authority of their parents. And this is something that we find, for example, in the Bible, that we would.
Pastor Mutoya is still there. All right, the line is dropping.
Approving certain relationships.
Sorry, Mfundisi, okay. You got stuck. Your line dipped there and we couldn't hear you. Just run this idea by us again. Go ahead.
Okay, so I was saying, when you look at the Bible and the Christian, way of dating, then you're talking about relationships that should honor God. And these relationships are relationships that actually start, or they are sanctioned with the approval of the parents, So that is what makes it different from this, what we could call maybe a modern day kind of dating. Yes. Because remember, dating is just these kind of relationships that people have without really commitment, because the person is trying to say, Can I find somebody to marry or something of that nature? Where you're going out here and there. But then when it comes to the biblical view of such, is that actually before you marry, there must be the authority of your parents. Number two, before you marry, there must be purity that should be there. Remember, for example, Joseph and Mary, they're about to marry, and then the angel says, you should not have anything to do with this lady, punishing her or trying to divorce her and so on, because you're about to marry and you have not slept with her. Mm. He says, no, the pregnancy, and then it is explained. Mm. So that tells you something there, that the principles we can get, which we could apply now in this modern day dating, but now for a Christian, we are talking about purity. I want to take you back to Jacob and Rachel. Yes, Jacob and Rachel. Jacob sees Rachel so beautiful, but yet the Bible says the time they married, I'm not sure, what really happened that night, but the time they married, it could have been after six years of staying with them. But the time Jacob married, the Bible is so clear that the father-in-law, who was the uncle, said to him, may you give my daughter Rachel 1 week so that she can mourn for her virginity and other things, and then you could get her. And so after he was with Leah, then it took 1 week, and Rachel came to him, and they were together at that time. The Bible is clear that at that time, Rachel was still a virgin, which means there was purity that was promoted before people marry. So if we are to apply these principles to today's dating, then we would say that Christian way of dating means, one, before you marry, there should be that purity, sexual purity, that should be there. There should be that respect that should be there. The love which is described in 1 Corinthians 13 is what we want to see in these kind of dating relationships. In other words, maybe I could say it this way, that for a Christian dating, for a Christian, dating is not just about finding a partner, but it's about building a relationship that does not only honor God, but also serves as a powerful testimony to others of who a Christian is, one who abides by the principles of God.
How is so that, Mfundisi? That's what I'm trying to establish, Mfundisi. It's the how do you date as a Christian? Because, as again, I don't know if there is a biblical basis for dating is in Christianity, but you're saying there is. So I want you to teach me what does dating look like? What would be a day out on a date for the Christian be like? And recurringly and repeatedly, how do you arrive at that conclusion that now I'm dating this one? What does it look like? And give us biblical examples.
Thank you for that. What it looks like for dating for a Christian is simply you are dating as a Christian, as a child of God. That means everything about you will reflect the principles or the things that defines a Christian. Let me give you an example. You know that when people go out, some of the activities they want to engage in is beer drinking. They want to drink beer. But then when this person who is dating is a Christian, the lady or the man will go out on a date and they'll be dating this person, but yet they will not include beer on their activities.
Waiting for this. You're saying, you're telling us that now. Can you just begin by saying, when you're saying you are dating somebody, how did you arrive at the conclusion that you're dating that person? Do you just take anyone or any? Just it's a confusing phenomenon for me, Funis. I've that's why I need you to just unpack it for me, bit by bit.
Thank you very much. Now, I want to say that when you look at dating, yes, when I say original sense, I'm not talking about in the Bible. No, I'm talking about the idea that began as dating. The way it began as dating is something that has to do with people getting to know each other by just being in friendship with somebody of the opposite sex.
Okay, let's hold that. Let's hold on to that.
Allow me to put it.
Let's just hold on to that infinity. Do you have any biblical examples of people who did that in the Bible? People who got to know one another of the opposite sex.
Well, we may not find them in the Bible. We may not find them in the Bible because the Bible is written with the Jewish culture. Influencing it so very much, which probably to some extent is more of the African culture as well.
Yeah.
Now, so when you look at the Jewish culture and the African culture,
right,
we really don't have dating because the African culture and the Jewish culture, we start from engagement. Yes.
I'm worried for this. I've noticed that with many of your contemporaries, theologians, there is an awareness of Jewish and Hebraic cultural practices, and then there is also an amalgamation between God's will and Jewish practices. I don't know, when do we say this Jewish practice is God's will or this Jewish practice is not God's will? I'm curious to understand, because when we read the Bible, we tend to read the Bible as a form of guide of how God permits and does not permit, how God wants things done, how God doesn't want things done. When we see the Jewish culture, is this something that we're supposed to be following or ignoring? Because the concept of dating is also a cultural concept. It's a European concept, which only is the youngest of the concepts seeing in the past, 1,000 years or so? Beyond then, we didn't even see it even with the Europeans themselves. All these cultures in medieval times and post-medieval times and all of the epochs, this concept of dating has never been. It's a phenomenon that came with the second industrial revolution. That's why I'm trying to establish, why then are we comfortable adopting this Western culture that came with the second industrial revolution, and yet it has never been there in any society since the first or the second one? We've never seen it in scripture in the first or the second testament. Why are we comfortable with dating if it has no biblical basis whatsoever?
Thank you very much for that question. That's a very a good question. Allow me to say, I agree with you that, yes, this is something that is coming from Europe, is something that is not really something you find in the Jewish culture or the African culture, okay? Now, your question is, why are we adopting it? Well, I want to say, we are not really adopting it. But what we are doing is, we are trying to be real with what is happening so that we can help especially the young people and say, okay, if you choose to go the dating way, these are the biblical principles that are there.
Where do you get those biblical principles?
In the olden days, let me give an example.
Yeah.
In the olden days, we didn't have internet. In the olden days, we didn't have phones. But today we have internet. We have phones today. So we cannot say, okay, let's check in the Bible. Which scripture says there are phones? Which scripture says there's internet? We may not find it there. But we can still guide a young person to say, this is how you're going to use your phone. Don't watch pornography on your phone. Don't use internet on things that will lead you to the evil activities. So we can guide them. And that's why I'm saying, when you look at dating, basically it's things that happen before people marry, some pre-marital relationship, okay? So if that is the case, we pick that one out, then we can guide our young people. we can guide them. Yes, to say, you know what? As you go into this, let your parents be aware. As you are doing this, make sure you're reflecting the biblical principles. We have biblical principles. I'll give you some examples. Like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it tells you that the body, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't engage in sexual sins. You look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 7, chapter 5. It's telling you, no. Stay away from, sexual sins and so on. So when you have all that, you are able to guide these young people to say, no, you can go into this. It may not be biblical, but here are some biblical principles for any relationship outside marriage. So then we give those principles to them.
Wow. Okay. So let's. You've answered what the purpose of dating is from where you're coming from, Fundisi. So how can principles of purity and respect guide this dating relationship?
Thank you. The principles of purity and respect, they surely guide. Why? Because we find that we have, sins that are committed by two people that claim to be in love or they are fond of each other and so on. And so we need to now bring about principles of purity to guide them so that they're able to know that when it comes to your wedding, we want you to have that white wedding dress. And the white wedding dress represents purity. And if it represents purity, then you are supposed to be pure until that day. You are supposed to be pure until that day. You are supposed to be a virgin until that day. So we bring in these principles that are found in the Bible, where the Bible literally says that you leave your father and your mother, then cleave to your wife, and then the two shall become one flesh. So the one flesh does not begin while you're still with your father and mother before you marry. Until you marry, that's when the oneness comes in. We give them the principles that are recorded in Hebrews 13, verse 4, that says a marriage bed is honorable and it's also undefiled. Yes, but the Bible says fornicators, adulterers, God will judge them. So these are principles that tell us that purity in the life of a young man, in the life of a young lady, even when they are in any relationship, whether they can call it dating or they can call it courtship, but as long as it's a relationship with the opposite sex before marriage, they should remain pure and they should respect each other.
Is that possible, though, Mfundis, to talk about a relationship before marriage and then you still talk about purity? If it's a relationship, then there is no purity there.
I want to say, yes, that is possible. Look at the case of Joseph and Mary, okay? Mary, the mother of Jesus. They are about to marry. They are engaged, and she is still a virgin. So that in itself shows that there can be a relationship, and yet there is still purity that is promoted, that people can abide
by. Joseph and Mary were not dating. Joseph and Mary were engaged to be married. There was no dating between Joseph and Mary. There was an engagement.
Yes, we are saying there was an engagement, and that engagement we are saying is a relationship before marriage. Because your question is it possible?
There is no evidence of that relationship, Mfundis.
Is it possible to talk about purity? And the answer is yes.
Mfundis,
so
there
is
no
relationship, whether it's dating.
There is no evidence of a relationship between Joseph and Mary. That's eisegesis, isn't it? You can read all of the four Gospels. You're not going to find any relationship between Joseph and Mary there.
Yes, but is it correct that at that time they were not yet married?
Yes, they were not married at the time. But they had there was no relationship between them. That's what I'm suggesting, Mfunis, that we are extrapolating things that are extra-biblical and imposing them onto the text. The text does not give us any sense that they had a relationship. What the text tells us is that they were affianced.
Good. That's good. What the text tells us is simply this, that stay away from any form of sexual immorality. In other words, stay away from fornication or adultery. Fornication referring to people that are not married. So if that is the case, we have at least principles from the Bible that tell us that if two people are not married, they should not have sex. If they are not married, they should not. So the Bible is very clear on that one. Yes, okay. That's why the Bible talks about fornication, talks about adultery, because it's saying if it is not in marriage, this should not be done. And now we are saying whether it is called engagement or it is called courtship, whether it is called dating, all these are referring to relationships before marriage.
Where do we get this from now? Are you suggesting that dating and being betrothed is the same thing?
Well, I would say that it depends on how you want to use the word dating.
I'm talking about our biblical understanding, Mfundis. When the Bible speaks of betrothal, is it dating?
Maybe I could say it this way, that my wife and I, we have been married for 21 years now.
Right.
But I still go out and say, okay, I think let's go out. We have a meal. Let's go out for, you know, like that. Now, that, if loosely used, the word dating can be used. That is, I'm going out on a date with my wife. So I want to say that the word dating can refer to maybe so many things.
I'm talking about you calling dating and courtship and being a fiancé the same thing. Is that the same thing biblically, Mfundis?
Well, we may not find it the same biblically. But what we're saying is, any relationship outside marriage, we have principles.
All right. I think our line has dropped again there. Okay.
Okay. I think I'm back now.
Okay. Go ahead, Mfunis.
Yeah. So I was saying, any form of relationship, whether it's not in the Bible or not, any form of relationship outside marriage between two people of the opposite sex, that kind of relationship, we have enough counsel in the Bible that can govern such.
Do we have an example of that, of a kind of relationship? That's my question. Do you have an example of such kind of a relationship between a man and a woman where they are governed by those principles in the Bible?
Beautiful. We may not have those kind of counsel.
Then why are we suggesting that there is such a possibility then, Mfunis? That's my worry. My worry is we are creating an impression that there is a biblical nature of doing dating, and yet there is no such thing. There is no way we could talk about ourselves as dating, and then we associate dating with the Bible. We must know, and for a fact, that there is no Bible in the dating in the Bible. And there's no principle that governs dating, because that never happened in the Bible. Whatever principles we may be using are not principles for governing dating.
You are very right, my brother. Yes, you are extremely right. I agree with you. Sure.
So let's then get this in fullness. What does it mean, therefore, for marriage to be a covenantal relationship?
Marriage to be a covenantal relationship, we need to just appreciate what a covenant is all about, because a covenant is a divine plan where you get into an agreement that joins the two of you together, that says regardless of different circumstances that may come or different conditions that may come, we'll still abide by this. So that's a covenant. It's actually a divine plan altogether. Yes, that will not change.
So are there covenants in marriage, in dating?
Will change with the contracts will change with the conditions that may come about. When you look at a covenant, it's something that is there as long as you both shall have life.
Is there other covenants in dating?
No. Not at all.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to leave it right there. This is a conversation, as you can tell, that we have been studying with many of my contemporaries, trying to reason it out and find some biblical basis for it. Perhaps you might want to join us in a very lengthy conversation to study this and delve into it deeper. Would you be willing to do that, Mpunis?
Yes, sure. Very
lovely.
Much.
Lovely. Lovely, Mfunis. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate your insights. Let's talk tomorrow.
Stay blessed then. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Mfunis. Pastor Ephraim Mudoya talking to us about dating and marriage.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.